The gospel lesson is from the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." In our hearing, our speaking, our living. Just for fun this week, I've been doing some reading about the beginning of the universe. The physics stuff, the scientific stuff about it, you know, just reviewing some of the details. I did some other things this week, by the way. Not to brag, but I did some other things. I helped Trish put in a shower in the boys' bathroom downstairs. I helped a small group of folks yesterday clean out the history room, which had really become the final resting place for a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff in our church building. And so we moved a bunch of that stuff out, did a little magic and made some of it disappear, and got the rooms ready for the chance for us to provide sanctuary for someone. Found some furniture that can go in those two rooms. Said hello and goodbye to Arnie and Marjorie Johnson's kids who were back in town settling their estate. Got some furniture from them and, you know, did the bulletin, did a funeral. You know, there's church stuff. But back to the beginning of the universe. You know, scientists think that way back when, there was a clump of something about the size of a mustard seed, as it turns out, though that's another story for another time. This little thing, probably visible, but very tiny. It was just sitting there, wherever there was, and it was really hot, and it was really dense, and then, blam! God had all this stuff, all nicely packaged together, had it all under control, and everything was good. And then God lost control, and everything went flying. Everything went flying every which way. It was perfect, and then it wasn't. And stuff was flying. And when I say flying, I mean flying. It was thought that for a period of time, stuff could move faster than the speed of light. That explains something in the unified theory of everything. It was going faster than the speed of light. And it took a little time for, you know, things to cool down. And it took a little time for gravity to develop and then to take hold. That was a pun. Gravity to take hold. And then some of those particles came back together. And they formed these balls. And they turned into suns. And then the suns exploded. And then stuff came back together and formed these balls and suns, and then they exploded again, and we went through that process a couple more times, and then there was water, and then there were rocks and dirt, and then we got Atlantic Beach, and we got Hanging Rock, and we got the Sand Hills, and we got Duke and Carolina, and we got lightning bugs and barbecue, and that's creation. That's how it took place. In the beginning, while God was creating the heavens and the earth. What was the difference between that story of the beginning of the universe that had been parsed together from scientists, and I read most of that in Wikipedia, by the way. What's the difference between that story and the story that Tommy read from Genesis? Well, Genesis is shorter, although I've read my account pretty fast. Genesis doesn't account for heat and dark energy and entropy, and it turns out entropy's not a problem anymore for physicists and the creation of the universe. Things will keep going, apparently, so thank goodness. It's hard to be poetic about entropy, and so Genesis didn't have to deal with that, and Genesis sounds nicer. Both stories try to tell us how we got here. Genesis touches on why. The Big Bang model touches on gravity. But I wonder, is any story, or is one story any more plausible than the other? I love both stories. I love every word of them, even the words that I don't understand. I learned what a hadron is. You know what a hadron is? I learned what a hadron is. It's got something to do with quarks. And it's an intermediate step before you get a neutron, I think. So I learned what hadron is. Not a character in the Old Testament. It's a scientific thing. Both stories tell us something about reality. Reality with a capital R, about what is and why what is. They're deep and powerful stories and profound ideas. Today is Trinity Sunday. In Trinity Sunday, Sunday after Pentecost, Trinity Sunday is a Sunday when the scripture readings pull together these quotes from the Bible that will mention the three-part God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer. The Trinity, like the creation story, is a big idea. It's an idea that tries to explain the different natures of God. It seeks to tie a bunch of ideas together into a neat package. God creates things, yet things are not all perfect, even though the Creator is perfect, or things are not perfect now the way God wanted things to be perfect. God loves us as people, as individuals. But even though God loves us and God's perfect, we can't live forever, and somehow God will make that right in the end. And then somehow God comes to us in profound ways and in small ways. God comes to us and speaks to us and nourishes us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And just in case we don't get all that, God tells us that God will be with us always. Trinity Sunday is the last time in the church year that we're going to talk about the supernatural qualities of Jesus. At Pentecost, we finally got Jesus safely back into heaven. And now what's left for the next 5 months, 6 months, is the ordinary stuff. And that's what the church calls this time, after Pentecost, ordinary time. There's nothing ordinary about Jesus, of course, but there aren't many extraordinary things that we'll talk about for the next few months. We're just going to talk about his teachings. Do you like these big stories? These big ideas, these meta-concepts, these macro-spheres of thoughts, talking about creation and the Trinity and all that stuff. I like that stuff. I like those big ideas because they leave me alone. I have nothing I can add to the creation of the universe or with God's creation of the heavens and the earth. And that's fine with me. I can kind of stay back and be an observer, and I don't have to worry about all those details. I don't have to be concerned with particle physics or that dome thing that turns into the sky and the water and all that stuff. I can leave it alone. I can accept on faith the universal fundamental interactions like gravity or electromagnetism. I don't have to worry about which came first, the chicken or the egg. I can accept those things on faith. The smaller ideas, the less universal ideas, concepts like love and justice and fairness, these smaller ideas, they get pretty strange, especially when compared with quantum mechanics or God in three persons, blessed Trinity. That's easy. Love one another even as I have loved you. Feed my sheep, feed the hungry and clothe the naked and welcome the stranger. Forgive one another, especially those who are in conflict with you. Those ideas are a bit harder for us. I've said many times that the disciples never seem to understand what Jesus is saying. It's a theme in the Gospels. 2 weeks ago, the disciples were, "What are you coming back? When are you going to come back?" 2 weeks before that is, "Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going?" 2 months before that, it was, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor, blessed are all these miserable people who are people who seem miserable. Turn the other cheek when you're slapped." 2 months before that, it was God saying, "This is my son, listen to him." And the one constant through all these stories was the disciples just didn't get it. It's no wonder they kept asking these inane questions. Where are you going? When are you coming back? Who are you again? It's easier to focus on those questions than it is to focus on doing what Jesus told them to do. Maybe we are predisposed to miss the point and to get off topic. Maybe God made us that way. Maybe. Or maybe it's our sinful nature. Or maybe all those fast-moving particles messed with our heads and we just seem to lose the forest for the trees. So welcome to ordinary time, where we wear green, where we're going to decorate the church in green, where we won't talk very much about angels or devils. It'll be no razzmatazz. Oh, there'll be a miracle or two here or there, but still, it's just us and the disciples trying to follow Jesus. Ordinary time starts with Jesus saying goodbye. Go tell everyone about me. And then get out of here. And of course, the disciples hang around Jerusalem anyway. Just a little while longer. They don't listen to Jesus. But then we never seem to get around to doing what Jesus wants us to do either. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger, love one another, forgive one another, bless one another. Do we get around to doing those things, the things that Jesus taught us? Maybe we will this year. Amen.